Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you. And we've got a great show headed your way. So sit back and comfortable. We're glad you joined us. And hopefully 2026 is off to a roaring start for you. It has been for Scottie Scheffler until yesterday. And we're doing this show, as you could probably tell, during the, after the first round, at least, of the WM Phoenix Open. And not such a great day for Scottie, which is a rare thing. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. And we'll be joined by our good friend, Steve Johnson. He's the director of golf at Vaquero Golf Club in beautiful Tarrant County, let's just call it, north of Fort Worth in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And he'll be joining us here in just a little bit. In the meantime, Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios, still thawing out from the winter chill, Frank, or is everything nice and warm there?
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? It is. There are still people without power in this town.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely ridiculous. I don't want to go
there. Are you going to run for mayor? Could you do better?
You know what? I'm going to run for state line. I mean, I'm going to run for two state lines, as a matter of fact, and get my butt back to Florida, where I belong. Yeah. It's incredible, the mismanagement and the
really?
It's been pitiful. This dissemination. Here we go. Big word for an Ole Miss graduate. Dissemination of information has been absolutely terrible. People don't understand that they're responsible for their masts at their house, okay? That's where the electrical connects to your house from the street, right?
Yeah, sure.
So there are people that are saying, we still don't have power. They're going, well, have you had an electrician fix your mast? It's incredible what's going on as far as, and I don't want to get into it. This is a golf show, an entertainment show. But
by God, something better happen.
You know what? The government ought to be shot in Nashville, Tennessee. Okay, I'm just going to say it.
Ooh.
Just put a wall around this place. Build a wall. Okay, build
a
wall.
By a water gun.
By a water gun or a paintball. A paintball with stink smell in it. They don't tell anybody anything. And would you realize how many people were out of power in this town for weeks? I mean, we're going on 2 weeks.
But obviously thousands, I guess, right? Huh?
200,000 were out. And they had, 450 linemen working that job? Anyway, we won't get into that. I'm a lineman for the county, and I'm leaving Davidson County immediately. folks, if you live in Nashville, you listen to this show, you don't have power, so you can't listen
Write
to
your
it.
Local congressman. Do Frank a
No,
favor.
Just go down to City Hall, because they haven't picked up garbage in 2.5 weeks, too. So go to City Hall and dump your garbage onto Freddie McConnell's front yard. New York's pitiful. New York's terrible.
I don't know.
So, anyway, didn't mean to get off on that. I want to talk about something, though.
Okay.
Else.
Oh.
Just got back from the PGA show. Why did I leave Orlando? I have no idea to come back to this. But saw our good friends at PXG, Lila Brennan and Brad and the crowd. Okay, all the our good friends at PXG. My equipment sponsor and clothing sponsor, and love them to death. Band their booth, the first time they've been at the PGA show, PXG that is, their booth was incredible. It was all AI and holograms, and it was the coolest booth there, period, bar none. I'm serious. It was really cool.
Some of those companies that go there in Orlando, and it's an annual thing every January in the merchandise show in Orlando for the PGA, and PJ Tour, and it's elaborate as all get out. I mean, they spend millions of dollars to put these, I say booths, they're much more than a booth. It's a small village, right, that they're assembling.
It is,
City Hall. And so pretty cool. So you had a good time. Other than PXG, everything else is pretty cool.
Everything else was good, too. I mean, first place I went to was PXG.
Yeah.
And, of course, my good friend Fred Altbader, which you know Fred.
Sure.
Back Nine Media Group, and he owns a bunch of magazines around the country, and we did a bunch of interviews. He asked me to do them with him, and so we did them. And so I'll throw the web back9mediagroup.com, I think, is the website. But we'll have Fred on sometime to talk about that. But we talked to a lot of people.
Okay. And we might put in the show in the coming weeks.
Yeah, we will.
Little bits and pieces of what's going on in the world of golf, because it is a merchandise show, but it's also a gathering of kind of everybody in the PGA world.
Right.
But it's also kind of cool to see the new latest, greatest things it that is. Are coming out and some ideas for people and new equipment and travel, right? There's all kinds of travel places that are there to tell you where you need to go and the neatest new resorts to put. So it's hard to take it all in though, isn't it? Even in a few days.
It's almost impossible. It's so massive. At last, Tuesday is the, or Wednesday, I'm sorry, is the big media day for equipment, demo day. So you get to hit all the latest and greatest equipment, and it's out at Orange County National Golf Club, and that was a lot of fun, and met old and new friends out there, and it's a great week, and it's a shame it's not really open to the public, but it's open to your PGA Pro, so at your local clubs, I'm sure if you're a member of Invited, which if you're not, you should be, any invited club, go to your pro and say, did you go to the PGA show this year, and ask them about it.
It's kind of a big gathering, like I said, for... And it diminished quite a bit, as everything did during COVID. The pandemic.
Yeah.
And then, but it's come back fully bloomed, I guess, from what you're saying. I haven't been there since the pandemic, but it sounds like everything's back and bigger than ever. Man, remember that? How it almost like diminished to a third.
Oh, it was nothing.
It
was. Yeah.
Yeah.
But back it's then, back.
Nobody wanted to travel, but now
it's back. And the PGA Tour's back. Oh, my goodness. We're back with a new player on the PGA Tour, a rookie named Brooks somebody.
Somebody. A rookie, he's a rookie, huh?
Okay. It's his rookie year, I guess.
His second rookie year.
Yeah it is. So that's going to be fun to watch. And the Waste Management, the WM.
Yep.
Not Waste Management, but WM. Used to be called the Waste Management in Phoenix.
Still stands for the same thing.
Still stands for the marketing. The number 16 is the party hole, right? I mean, everybody knows that.
I've heard that.
And we used to call it the Wasted Management because people would get there at 5 in the morning and they'd start drinking.
Yeah.
And they had to kind of calm that down a little bit, but they still party hard.
It's still kind of crazy. And even yesterday, and we'll talk more about it with Steve here in a few minutes, but even yesterday, some guys had some great times there and enjoyed it. And as usual, a lot of the players, not all of them, but a lot of the players get caught up in it. And Joel Damon was one of them, and he put on – he's from that area, so he says he loves it. He got a sponsor invite because he's kind of on the fringe, so he got a sponsor invite to play, and he put on a Seahawks helmet.
Yes.
as the guys walk from the tee box, it's a par three, from the tee box to the green, which is a three-minute walk, he put on I don't know where he got it, but it was an official-looking – wasn't just like a toy – Seattle Seahawks helmet, I guess, to show his support for Sunday's Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And that's what the guys do. And then they let him do it again. They got out of it for a while. Remember when Ricky Fowler would bring different hats and stuff from Cobra or, their sponsors.
And throw them up into the,
And then the PGA Tour, like they like to do sometimes, go, well, that's too much fun. Let's stop that.
Right. You can't have that much fun.
Too good a time. And now they're letting them do it again. So guys are throwing some t-shirts. But it's just, it's a great, and everybody on the PGA Tour, I think almost every other stop tries to emulate that in some way. They don't totally reenact it, and it's hard to build the four-deck Superdome that they have there in Phoenix surrounding the whole green and the whole
– Oh, they built it out this year. Have you seen it, Tim?
It's totally encircled if you want to buy bleachers and
four stories.
Yes.
In some cases.
It's a village.
Yeah.
It's a little village that surrounds a par three golf course, and here at the Byron Nelson – they've done the same thing with their 17th hole, and so it's caught on. Now it's not every hole and every course, but a lot of it has. So it's they got to get a lot of credit.
Joel Damon backing up to him, he hit kind of a pitiful tee shot. He was booed to death on that.
Missed the green, and they give you a lot of credit.
And then he flips it into the hole.
Yep.
Okay. But what I'm proud of Joel for is he did not channel his inner Janet Jackson and take his shirt off. Okay.
Yeah. Who's that? Harry Higgs?
Yeah, Higgs did that. Well, so did Joel Damon. Damon took his shirt off. Yeah.
And we don't need to see any golfer with their shirt off. Maybe Bryson.
No. Nah, not even Bryson. No.
Yeah, it might be it. Well, I'm just saying.
Paige Spiernak, maybe. I don't know.
Plus, their tan lines are the worst, too, right?
Oh, man. It could be a farmer.
That chest has not seen sunlight in 15 years.
Oh, that's my. When I get into it during the year, I wear those little, I don't wear socks. I wear the little
ankle socks. Yeah.
So then my feet are just bright white when I go to the swimming pool.
Yeah. But,
yeah. So who cares about that? Our listeners don't care about my feet.
Yeah.
They care more about Paige Spiernak taking her shirt off.
I'm
sorry.
I can't. Not that we have anybody regulating our show.
Yeah, FCC.
Yeah, somebody's going to come down on us. Yeah, by the way, there are some awards handed out at the because it's Super Bowl weekend for the Super Bowl. We'll talk about that, too, if you're not quite up on or hadn't caught who was the MVP of the league and who's a rookie of the year.
Shocking. Kind of thing. Shocking, very, too.
Very kind of big deal that they had in San Francisco, which is the host city for the Super Bowl this year, which almost played host to the home teams. 49ers got pretty far into the playoffs, but eventually, yeah, now it's Seattle against New England, and the money's all going towards Seattle.
Be a Tennessee. Seahawks. Be a Tennessee, by the way.
Be a Tennessee, Get rid of your coach and make sure that he goes to the right team and he succeeds immediately.
First year away from Tennessee, and he takes his team to the Super Bowl. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Smooth move. Mike Vrabel is great. Love him to death.
He wasn't worth playing for the
– I heard Taylor Zarzer this morning. He was doing his show early. Yes. And Taylor, of course, he's – the voice of the Tennessee Titans. They hired him to do, the play-by-play here in Nashville.
Okay.
And he said, I really hope New England doesn't win because I don't want to hear for the rest of the year them talk about Mike Vrabel, which you will if he wins, because they'll say, why did they fire him?
Hello? He still did get his team to the Super Bowl. So there's still going to be quite a bit of talk because he certainly succeeded, even if he doesn't win the ultimate game. Going from I don't even know his record, but in Tennessee, he was well under 500. Well, so when you look at his record, people might say, well, there you – but it's like, okay, what do I get to work with?
Hey, ownership matters. Ownership matters.
It's like I can't make chicken salad out of chicken, you know what. So,
and you're griping at me about a woman taking her top off? and you're saying chicken poop on the rare?
I curved it.
You cleaned it up. Cleaned it up.
So, So, anyway, it's – but we'll talk about that.
By the way, one thing before we go, I have to interrupt you on this. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm thinking – over my skis this morning. Channel 4 here, which is the NBC affiliate, which you were CBS forever, sports director there in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted you to know that they have the largest meteorological team in the country.
Oh, well.
They've got like 8 people.
They brag about that?
Brag about that.
Yeah. Meanwhile, there's my bone to pick. Their sports staff is down to one guy.
It's one guy.
one guy who shoots his own video, does all of his own editing, everything.
Cleans his own tennis shoes.
And meanwhile, they need to have 17 meteorologists on staff.
Tim hates meteorologists. Okay, he just doesn't like them.
I have a dislike for what they do. The people themselves, I don't, but it's just what they do because. The drama they create. I can only imagine what they're doing in Nashville.
Oh.
It was Armageddon. The end of the world's coming, Frank.
It was.
End of the world.
Well, when I had to throw out about $1,200 worth of stuff out of my refrigerators, I was not a happy camper.
Yeah.
Not a happy camper. And then stay in a hotel for a week.
Or the
and did you know, Tim, that if you stay in a hotel for a week, it's a forced staycation, right?
Yes.
The bar bill and the food bill at that hotel, it was more than the lodging bill at that hotel.
They made you do that?
Yes. What else are you going to do? Sit in a hotel room and stare at a TV that's 720p or whatever it is?
Is that the mayor's fault, too?
Absolutely.
Your bar bill is
Freddie McConnell. Don't vote for Freddie for anything. Garbage collector. No.
He caused Frank to go to the bar every night.
He did. Every night and discuss how much I don't like him as the mayor of Nashville. And I don't care who. Everybody can know that. Don't move here, please, people.
They do.
You don't want to move here. We don't have streets. We have potholes everywhere.
Stay away. Stay away, please. All right. On that happy note, we're going to take a break because Stevie Ray J is ready to dive into whatever's burr under his saddle. It'll be something. I'm just going to sit back and let him and Frank be their grumpy old men and go crazy here. But you are listening to Golf Talk America, and Grumpy Frank, Grumpy Steve will be joined by Grumpy Tim when we come back. Stay with us. And welcome back to Golf Talk America. And that will be the last time you hear the polka music.
It's over. Crap's
Steve
over.
Just put his foot down and said, I'm not coming on if you play polka music anymore.
Earl Klug forever.
And so now Steve's giving us another choice. Yes, good for you, Steve. How you doing? Stevie Ray J joins us.
I'm doing great.
Now, instructor of golf at Vaquero Country Club in beautiful Westlake, Texas, north of Fort Worth, Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Now, a little fun fact. I'm doing great, guys. Doing great. It's been a long time since we've talked.
It has.
Got a lot to fill you in on. Well, quick fact. Just a fun fact. Back in the 80s, when you'd come you'd play, they'd have a golf tournament, you'd watch it on CBS or ABC or wherever it was on. It typically wasn't on cable at that point, but there was a weekend broadcast. And the intros and the outros would be performed by instrumental music, sometime Chuck Mangione, but the other time where I got familiar with this artist, Earl Klugh, was through golf. So everything, all roads lead back to golf.
Okay. Because George Benson.
Earl Klugh used to play.
Wasn't George Benson, wasn't he the music, Frank, for the Masters for a long time or for golf coverage, like ABC golf coverage or something?
They used some of George Benson's stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
The famous guitarist, yeah.
It was always very mellow sounding, like golf had to be kind of like, ooh,
right.
Here we are.
They used Lee Ritenour, too. Lee Ritenour, saxophone. Yeah, tranquil stuff.
Yeah. I loved it. I mean, I was a kid. I mean, even going back to the old days with Howard Cosell and everybody else back at I just remember thinking, I don't know if I like golf or not, but I always liked the music when they'd come in and out of commercials or start the show because they'd show the beautiful scenery, right? And you go, man, that golf course, look at the ocean or the lakes and the trees. I always thought it was just fun, nice thing to watch and kind of chill me out even when I was younger. So maybe you're right. We got to get new music, Steve. We're going to get rid of
We're going to get rid of all the old stuff. It's going to be a new day.
And we'll credit Steve
all
Johnson.
Right, good.
Instrumental by Steve Johnson.
Yeah, no, Steve can write it for us.
Tissue paper and comb.
He's multi-talented.
juice harp.
So let me ask you this, Stevie, right? We'll get into, of course, what's going on right now is the PGA Tour is at the WM Phoenix Open. At the same time, people have to be aware this weekend that we're doing this, is the LIV Golf. We're there in Riyadh, right? And they're playing in Saudi Arabia, which is the backyard, quite honestly, of the home of LIV Golf. And I talked to a friend of mine who worked with the LIV Golf event here in Dallas when they had the team championship last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's somewhat in with some of the guys at LIV Golf. Well, anyway, he was watching, which is on FS1, right? He was watching some of the first round of the LIV Golf tournament, again, in their backyard. He said he had trouble seeing any fans whatsoever up in the grandstands. And he even knows David Faraday well enough to text him and said something to Faraday about it. And Faraday said, there's nobody here. So I'm curious, does that surprise you guys? I haven't watched it yet, and today will be the second round. I haven't watched it yet, but a bit surprising that there wouldn't even be a paid audience, that the Saudi family wouldn't say, okay, we need 25,000 of you to show up, here's a dollar, whatever.
That is strange.
He said there was just nobody. Okay. All the cutaways, all the shots of the golfers and stuff, you saw no fans. And I mean no as in very, very few.
Right. Okay, so
surprising?
Let me. Not really, because last week was San Diego, the Farmers Insurance Open, correct?
PGA Tour, yes.
Tory Pine.
I was given. This was a few years ago, but I was given request. One of the caddies said, "Hey, can you come watch my player? He's out on the course today. He's playing the North Course at Tory Pines." I said, "Sure, I'd be glad to." So it was Luke Donald.
Okay.
This was back. He wasn't at the top of his game, but he's still a very popular player. He was playing with Ernie Els, which always very popular, Big Easy, and he was playing with Hideki Matsuyama. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a huge Asian population out in San Diego that love to follow their players. You know, I mean, he's a Japanese national player and big. I mean, they do. If you know anything about the Japanese and golf, once they latch on to a player that they like, they film everything. They film his practice rounds. They film, guys like TV shows on this guy. Yeah. So I go out there to watch. And just so happens that who else is out there watching is Butch Harmon was out there watching. He was out there watching Ernie Els. And I called Hank Haney at the time, and I said, "Hey, I'm out here watching perhaps the most famous Asian player, along with Ernie Els and Luke Donald." And I said, "How many people do you think are with me watching?" He said, "I don't know. I have no idea." He says, "Is there a lot?" I said, "There's five people out here watching." So the fallacy is that the PGA Tour, now they do get fans. That's spread out. This is spread out over two different courses the first 2 days. But other than the around the clubhouse, 18, 10, 1, where, you know, around the clubhouse and around the very marquee players, it's friends and family out there.
Yeah.
No one's out
very
there.
True.
No
very
one's
true.
Watching. And so to say that, hey, LIV doesn't have anyone, well, PGA Tour doesn't have all that many people either. Now, this week is a little bit different because it's a debauchery deal. You know, I mean, it's a party.
The asylum.
It's a golf tournament that breaks out into a huge party. So a lot of the people, like the Byron Nelson Championship used to be here in Dallas, Tim, you know that a lot of people would go 3 or 4 days to the tournament and never see a golf shot.
Right. Exactly.
Because it was a big social event. That's the way it is in Phoenix today. You'll see thousands and thousands of people. A handful of them will be sober. And
if that many,
they'll be, oh my gosh. And back to your point.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing the weave. I'm doing a little bit of the Trump weave here. I'm bringing it back to, it's not surprising that they don't have any fans over there at the LIV, because it's deceiving when you watch a PGA Tour event. You think every hole has 30,000 people on it, which is not right.
Well, that's the production. That's the production. And what they do it well. CBS, NBC, both are very good at framing the shots, making it look like there's a lot of people.
Yeah.
They do that on purpose.
Golf is very unique in that, just as you're describing, Steve, people are going to be hanging around. And if you get a shot around the clubhouse, right, which is a lot of times where the parties are and where all the drinking and all the tents and everything else.
The free booze.
You get around there, and you can see a lot of people. But if you get out on 15 and 17 and 12, and of course holes that are literally a half a mile out from the clubhouse, people have to want to go out there and to see something and say, okay, do you feel like it? Not really. Let me just sit here. So they don't travel. And you're right. At some golf course, most golf tournaments, if you get to certain places, even with bigger name players, and you're a half a mile away from the club, you're not going to see that many people.
Harbortown's that way. Harbortown's a brutal walk.
I think my friend's point was, he was kind of seeing, he was watching, he knows golf well enough to say, I was like the number one tee box, right? Where they announce, and here's on the tee box is Bubba Watson. And he said there were 9 people in stands.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just out on the golf course. He said it was just really shocking. He made a call to me just for that specific reason to say, are you watching? I was in my car at the time. And he said, I'm not seeing anybody. He goes, it's just crazy how there are just so few people there. To make the bigger picture here is we saw what happened with Brooks. We know what's going on with Patrick Reed, who's continuing to play on the DP World Tour and doing real well. He's still in the Middle East and had another good round yesterday. Are we seeing a slow trickle of, if not the demise of LIV, certainly the devolvement of any kind of an agreement between LIV and the PGA? Does the PGA of America, PGA Tour, do they have any need to make this merger that they've talked about for now, 18 years, do they have any need to make that happen?
You know, I think it'd be in the best interest of golf if they did.
I agree. Best interest
absolutely
of them,
best interest of golf. What's that?
But in the best interest of the PGA Tour?
Yeah, because you need to have identifiable people that you can get behind and be fans for. I mean, I'm looking at the leaderboard today, Chris Goddard, I couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
Right.
Nikolai Højgaard, Michael Thorbjørnsen, Sam Stevens.
And Højgaard, too.
Chandler Phillips, you know, I'm sure a great player and a really nice
TV
player.
Show, friends.
Rasmus Nygaard Pedersen. What about that guy?
So
he's right there.
Well, I know it. That's a little
brutal.
Hyphenated.
Those are somebody's children.
Yeah.
But we're talking about fans here, and there's no Michael Jordan here. There's no Shaquille O'Neal.
Well, look who they show. They show Kepka constantly now. I mean, he's back.
I mean,
they're showing him like crazy. Yeah.
Because he's recognizable.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Plus, let's be honest.
He's the story.
The PGA Tour is definitely taking advantage. He's in the promos.
I know he is.
The guys are teed up with them for 4 years. He's in their promos because they're trying to basically thumb their nose at LIV and everybody else and going, guess who's back with us? Mm-hmm. Yeah, just the first of many. Yeah. That's what they're doing. And now they're going to show them on TV. And I'm sure somebody with the PGA Tour made mention to somebody at CBS or the Golf Channel, it wouldn't hurt if you showed a lot of cutaways of the guy who's not playing very well. You normally wouldn't show a guy who's 4 over like Brooks. But wouldn't hurt if you show a few shots of him.
Why? Speaking to that, Steve, you're the guru of golf swing and teaching and all that, hanging out with Woods all those years. What What do you see in Brooks? Why is he? Is it just rust? Is it? Well, what do you think?
Well, I mean, he's out of shape. One thing.
No doubt. Yeah.
You know, how serious? I mean, the dollar sign is a big detractor to the work that those guys need to do to stay at the top of their games. I think that's one of the reasons not only Brooks Koepka, but Dustin Johnson and the guys that were dominant players when they were on the PGA Tour, the top marquee players, have kind of fallen off. I mean, and you see that. It's very rare that you don't see that when someone's has earned enough money where they feel comfortable.
Yeah.
They feel comfortable. Which is not a good position for a guy. Not a good position. Yeah, for guys that need to be honing their game in to try to beat everybody.
Yeah.
You know, there's Jordan Spieth is really one of the only guys that I can identify that plays for championships. He's got plenty of money, and he's trying to rework his game. He's trying to recapture his game. He works hard. He's battling a few injuries right now, but I mean, he's playing to see not how much money he can win, but how many titles he can win. I mean, it's disappointing for someone. I'm a fan of his. It's disappointing to see a guy that I earmarked as the next Arnold Palmer for golf, just being a journeyman, which is very disappointing. Yeah. We need guys that are superstars. And the hope is with Brooks, we know the majors are his, that's his superpower. He does well in the majors. To play good day in and day out is Scottie Scheffler. It's not Brooks Koepka. Brooks Koepka is a guy that's going to get psyched up for an event. Now, I think Brooks Koepka right now is getting ready for the Masters. So he's not fretting. He's just trying to get the feel and feel the fans out. You know, I mean, it's nice being in front of people that cheer for you.
Well, his putting is horrendous.
Yeah, it's bad.
Is that the typical thing, Steve, for somebody? Brooks has not played, for people that didn't really follow it all, hadn't played in months and months since August, I believe, with the last live event he played, which is why he's been able to kind of quickly, we say after he made his announcement, play on the PGA Tour. He hadn't been playing for quite a few months competitively. And is putting the thing that will almost always be a trailer, that last thing that kind of you get? Because he was striking the ball pretty well at Torrey Pines as far as tee to green. He just couldn't putt to save his life.
Well, putting preparation is important for scoring. And so, I mean, Hank always used to talk about Tiger. When he didn't practice his putting, his lag putting was no good. When he practiced, when he dedicated time for practice, practicing speed control, practicing starting the ball along his intended line, practicing reading the break, which is probably perhaps the easiest of the skills in putting, for a guy that's been around golf as long as he has, when you don't practice, it falls off right away, just like your short game pitching and all that. So that's something that needs to be maintained, and that's probably the focus of Koepka's. The practice that he is getting right now is, I bet you he spends a ton of time on the putting green. Yeah.
You know, they said last week, by the way, one of the announcers, whomever, said that he spent, after his second round, I believe, he spent 4 hours with Titleist on the putting green.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, it didn't show. I mean, yesterday. He first round at Phoenix, he didn't putt very well. But hang on a second. He switched putters, too. He went to a completely new putter.
Yeah, he did.
Last week, so that's an adjustment he's going to have to make, too. And you're right, Steve, probably, that he's gearing up towards – because his legacy is not going to be that he won 47 tournaments on the PGA Tour, right? He's going to win whatever he's going to win. He's going to go with, I've got 5 majors. Can I win 2 more or 3? Can he get to 7? He's already in pretty elite company at 5. If he gets
he's in the Hall of Fame. He's already in the Hall of Fame. In the Hall of Fame, Tim.
Yes,
I'm just saying,
I think you're right that he is playing for the majors. So in his mind, I've got several weeks to get my putter going, get the right putter in my hands, get all that kind of feel, because when I get to Augusta, That's when he wants his A game. That's his thing. He's not really that worried about, am I going to play well at the Phoenix tournament? You know, I'd like to, but if I don't, I don't. He's in a different place than Spieth. And you're right. Spieth is trying to come back. He had a decent round yesterday. Jordan was 1 under. So he's hanging a little bit, but he's not anywhere where the rest of us all would like him to be. And he's still somewhat the face or one of the faces of the PGA Tour, but he's kind of dangling on that thread of, are they going to finally, marketing wise, go, okay, we can't keep showing Jordan because Jordan hasn't won a tournament now in 7 years kind of thing. Maybe, you know, and that's where he's got to worry about his legacy is, all right, is everybody going to talk about how great I was until I hit 25? And then literally like, went downhill at 25.
Well, we all three of us are big Jordan Spieth and his family were fans. And we really, we really wanted to succeed. But I want to jump to somebody else. If you have seen this guy, I don't know if you've watched him at all, Steve, or not, but have you had a chance to analyze Jake Knapp's swing?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Jake Knapp.
Oh, Jake Knapp. Yeah. He's very powerful.
Yeah. Very.
The strong guy. The former
very powerful.
Bouncer.
Yeah.
Is that what he was?
He was a bouncer at a bar. Yeah. Skinny little guy.
He played golf, but he's not that skinny. If you look at him, he's got really broad shoulders and he's trim, right? He definitely did not have the gut. Yep. But you can kind of tell they showed some shots of him working out. He's got a lot of muscle.
His release is what I'm enamored with. I mean, when he gets into this power slot or whatever you want to call it there, he just absolutely unleashes on it. And it's the face on the ball, as you always say. It's, you know, where's the face of that club when it meets the ball? Right. That's the key.
Is he playing in Phoenix?
Yes, he is.
Yep. Yeah, 4-under, shot a 67 first round.
So very good.
And this course is playing long, and they've got that rough way up out here. I haven't seen it that tall before. And it's playing like almost 7,200 yards for a par 71. So it's not exactly the shortest course on tour.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe that's what they're trying to do, though, right? We've talked before about them being PGA Tour and the setup of golf courses, trying to get guys to be more down the fairway, you know, and not just blast it. And if you raise the rough, that's one of the things Art Sellinger's always said. He goes, you know, quit making these golf courses, quit making them into, you know, airport runways.
Speed slots,
So they're basically putting greens that the ball just rolls forever. And on top of that, it's not penalizing if you cut the rough down to 2 inches.
Well, I talked to Scotty about that yesterday.
You raise those roughs and suddenly you're like, okay, it doesn't have to be U.S. Open, but make it penalizing. Right? You miss by 10 yards to the right. You got to somehow get sideways or get out of there. You can't get to the green.
But Phoenix doesn't have a lot of rough. Phoenix, they have deserts. Hang on here just a second, guys.
They've got the rough up. The rough that they have is up.
Yeah, it was a little bit.
I mean, ask Scotty. He blistered. Oh my God, it was embarrassing. Yeah.
But there's not a lot of rough though. I mean, there's not a lot of rough.
It looks like they've kind of let it grow.
Yeah.
You know, the door rough there. And maybe that's part of it. Maybe I don't know. Right. What do you think, Steve? And again, we're joined by Steve Johnson, director of golf at Vaquero Country Club. What do you think
director
about
of instruction. I don't want someone to think they lost their job over here. I don't want to
director of maintenance. He's the guy mowing the lawns. Yeah. He got off the tractor to talk to us. But what about the, you know, the golf course setups? If you're a PGA Tour person, like a PGA Tour official, do you want guys to have to be challenged more, or do you want them to go, oh, I love playing here because I can always shoot a 63 or 64. It's too easy. You got to have a balance there, don't you? Where it's challenging, but guys are going to be bitching and moaning if all they can do is shoot 1-under. Right? They're like, it's too hard out here. The greens are this. It's kind of a fine balance every course has to do to get the right scoring so that you're not one of those courses that the winner is 28-under every time, right? You kind of a comfortable area.
I mean, I can accept the fact that majors are trying to find the best player that week. That's why the test is much, much tougher. The fairways are narrower. The greens are faster. You look at a lot of the major tournaments, typically not at the Masters, but you see how stressed the greens are toward the end of the week. They're trying to find the best player that week to be their champion. The PGA Tour is entertainment. I think that if the PGA Tour made the courses as difficult as they can make Pebble Beach, which is the shortest course in all of professional golf, 6,800 yards at the longest. They can make that course where you can't shoot under par. I don't think that's the way the PGA Tour wants. We want to go out there and see the people that do go out and watch. They want to see the power the players have. They want to see the accuracy. They want to see things that they can't do. They want to see birdies. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. You know, these guys are just so darn good. I really like 30 under is a little bit excessive, but I mean, hey, it is what it is, man.
That's what it was in the desert,
I mean,
right?
These guys are just so damn good. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. If you played out at the American Express, you better be, looking close to 30 if you're going to be trying to win that thing. But okay. Hey, another subject. Go ahead.
I'm looking at Jake Knapp's scorecard from yesterday. This guy had like 7 or 8 birdies.
Yeah.
He had some bad holes too. Yeah. But the people love seeing, hey, gosh, he just birdied the last 3 holes. He just birdied the, sure. He almost eagled hole that par 5 number, was it number 3?
Yeah.
He almost eagled that hole, which is awesome. I mean, he lipped it out. So he had 6 birdies. I thought he had more. 6 birdies, 3 bogeys.
Yeah.
And then he birdies 18, I think.
I'd take it.
And it is fun to watch the majors and see the guys struggle. And maybe that's not an every week thing, because then it's too much of a struggle. And no different than, you're right, it's entertainment. Football, you want to see long touchdown passes, right? I don't want to see him, do the tush push 58 times a game. You're like, okay, that's not any fun.
Yeah. That is boring. That is not good for football.
Yeah. So I agree with you. I agree. You got to see some dazzling things that the rest of us mortals are going, huh.
But just like the NBA, I mean, the basketball season's in full swing right now. If they really wanted to make more competition, they'd raise the basket, they'd make the hoop smaller, they'd put more air in the ball. I mean, there's a lot of things they can do, but people go there to see athletes do things that they can't do.
3-pointers. All day.
Yeah, I mean, geez, it's entertainment. I love the entertainment. I think it's a great value. It's a great value for you can spend all day out there and it doesn't cost you an arm and a leg.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. For the price of a ticket, you could literally, I mean, most things are 3 hours, right? Games, whatever you go to.
Right.
If you love golf and you like to hang out and have a good time, you could be at a golf course in Phoenix this week or something else. A lot of these people are quite literally for 6, 7, 8 hours. I mean, for the price of admission, you can do that. So, I agree. Golf's got a unique.
Yeah, and the great thing about golf, I'm just thinking about the great things of golf. I mean, you're outside. And not only that, there's no commercial timeouts. You go to a basketball game. Gosh darn, took another timeout. Well, TV timeout. Yeah,
that's football. Drives me crazy.
Yeah.
But there's always something going on in golf. Right. I mean, even if you take a break,
exactly,
the action's still going on. Right. I mean, you can always come back and find it. So it's, hey, by the way, Frank mentioned earlier your work in the past that everybody's aware of with between you and Hank with Tiger and being around Tiger. Give us your update there. Not that you're talking to Tiger on a daily basis, but your thoughts on, he just turned 50. Are we going to see him on the Champions Tour? Can he even do that part of it?
So.
Is it all a physical mystery as far as what he's going to be able to do? What would people, because I still get people that ask me about Tiger. I'm like, who knows? The guy has more surgeries than the doctors performing the surgeries on him. He's in the double digits in surgeries now. What do you think? What are we looking at here?
I mean, guys, I'm really, if I were a bookie in Vegas, I would say it's a pick 'em, because I mean, a lot of the people around the Carroll Club here think that he's going to go out and play. He's just turned 50, still recovering. I mean, I saw him last summer at the U.S. Junior Amateur. His son Charlie was playing in it here in Dallas. After 8 holes walking, that was warm. After 8 holes walking, he could barely get around. I just do not think that he's going to be in any condition to play. He's got, in order to perform, he's got to practice.
Right.
And you can say, hey, he's been doing it for a long time. Well, look, all these guys out there on the Champions Tour have been doing it a long time, but they practice.
Right.
And they've got to practice to stay dialed in their fields. I just don't think he's going to be able to practice enough to be competitive.
Yeah.
No, I just don't think he's going to be.
He's not going to shoot under par, because even the champions, you've got to be 2, 3, 4 under par almost every round.
Right.
If you're going to win.
And like the PGA Tour, I mean, he wanted to come back on the PGA Tour because he thought he could win. He doesn't want to go out there. A success to him is not going out there and making the cut. He wants to be part of the mix. He wants to have an opportunity to win. I just don't think his body's going to allow him to do that. Unfortunately, I mean, it's a sad day when, I don't know if it's going to be a Saturday when we see him, how broken down he is, or a Saturday that he doesn't come back. I don't see it. If I had to bet right now, I'd say, no, he's not coming. He's not going to play.
What do you think, Frank?
I don't know. It's in his current condition. Steve knows him much better than I do.
And it's been since 2010 since I was around him a lot. So that's a long time. And I tell you what, obviously his body still looks great, but it is broken down.
Yeah. But the desire to win is such a champion's desire is never ending.
But like Hank used to say, does he want to climb that mountain again?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big climb.
He knows the commitment he has to make to get to that point. And now, as we've said a million times about every golfer we've ever talked about, Spieth and Scheffler, you get a family. You get things. Well, now he's got teenage kids, right? Who are, as you said, Steve, playing in junior tournaments and doing other things. He's got his daughter. She's doing. You want to be part of all that kind of stuff. That takes you off the practice range, right? You don't get to do all the things that you think you need to do. And he certainly did, maybe to the detriment of his personal life, that he did back in the glory years when that's all he did is lift weights, work out, play golf, and then repeat, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. He kept doing it. And it showed the results. He knows that's the commitment I had to have. He doesn't have near that commitment, I don't think, mentally now, to say I'm going to do those same things.
Well, the recovery.
And be able to compete. I mean, you know,
the recovery process, you know, Tim. Recover takes a lot of time for him, too.
Sure.
So
absolutely. The preparation before.
His mindset is very different than I'm just going to bring up our friend Paul Stankowski, right? Paul Stankowski goes into a tournament to play on the Champions Tour to compete, to be around some of his old buddies, to have a good time. And he, I think, thoroughly enjoys every moment of it. There is no cuts. It's not whether he makes a cut or not. But whether he finishes in fifth place or tied for 28th place, yes, everybody would like to do better. He enjoys it. He has a very good time, and that's a great part of his life that he's doing now. That's a different mindset. He's not the same guy as Tiger, who if Tiger finishes consistently tied for 28th, is going to be like, I'm embarrassing myself out here. You know, what am I doing? Fans are looking at me like, oh, my God, that's another bogey for Tiger. He shot 2 over. You know, it's hard to be Tiger in that world because you're Michael Jordan. You can't throw up air balls and have fans just go, that's okay. That's not okay. You know, and especially in your mind, the pride you have, Tiger doesn't want to be just another golfer out on a golf course.
And I mean, you're comparing little apples to oranges. Paul Stankowski is a great player.
Is very good.
He's won twice on the PGA Tour. It's a resurrection of his career, the PGA Tour champions, which is a blessing for him.
And for a lot
which
of
is great.
Guys.
I mean, that's why he loves it. Yeah. I mean, he loves it. Yeah. He gets to be with his son caddies for him. It's a great lifestyle. Tiger, I mean, it's a different way, different deal.
Yeah. I think even if you're Ernie Els, I think Ernie is okay with where he is, right? And Ernie Els is a Hall of Famer and multiple major winner, but he's not Tiger, right? Tiger's kind of got his own, he and Jack kind of have their own category. There's a whole different feel of what I can and can't do and how I can be perceived. And I don't want to fall down to that level and do it and just show up and go, hey, here I am, let's have a good time. He's not going to do that, which I'm wondering too, does he make an official announcement? And I'm not saying it's going to happen anytime real soon, but I wonder if at some point he just goes, I just can't get out there and do it anymore. I'm kind of done. I'm 52 years old and I'm kind of done.
Yeah.
I don't know if he will, because in most sports you kind of have to, because the team moves on, right? You're Tom Brady. We got another quarterback. You're too old now. In golf, I guess you could linger forever if you wanted to, but I just don't know if that's what he wants to do, you know, and have people keep questioning.
Yeah.
I think at some point he might say, I'm going to design golf courses and kind of go down almost the road Jack went down and just stop playing competitively.
Let's move. Right. Let's move to a subject I found interesting. I know I love this about Tiger and all that, but there's one thing I really want Steve involved in before we have to let him go, and that's if there were a Mount Rushmore of golf, who would be on that Mount Rushmore for you, Steve? For you, Tim? Who would be there?
Are you saying four? Are you giving it to four?
I'm giving it to four. Four.
Got to be top four. There you go. Okay.
The four go you ahead, pick. Steve. Now we're not going to talk about criteria here. And when I heard some other shows talking about this subject, they didn't lay out any criteria. So everybody's choices are going to be different because you're in your mind, you're using different criteria. So it's just everybody's mm-hmm. personal opinion. But who would you think would be the Mount Rushmore, the four of golf to this day?
This is kind of who would you like to play with type deal, huh?
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much.
Okay,
yeah.
So Tim, you want to go first?
Sure, I'll go. I would say the easy two that almost everybody would have would be Jack and Tiger, would be two of the four. I'd have to put Arnie in there as a third because he was instrumental in not only being a phenomenal golfer and everything he did, but he also is kind of the guy. He's almost like Bird and Magic. You know, the NBA was on fumes when Bird and Magic came into the league and people were not watching. They weren't going to the games. The championship games were even on tape delay. That's how unpopular the NBA was early 80s. And they came and rejuvenated, and that's what happened with Arnie. And the TV era came in with Arnie being the guy. So I think Arnie's got to be in there too. I was going to say Stankowski, but I'm going to go back on that one. Probably not him.
Well, you get to play with him anytime you want to. So.
The fourth guy of those four, there's got to be more current.
It doesn't have to be.
I know, but I don't. Again, you could go to Hogan, you could go to Bobby Jones and all that, but that's so far back that people are going, I don't even know who that guy is anymore. Of the modern, you know, I'm not going to say Scotty, but man, Scotty's maybe another 2 years. Scotty would be there for me. I mean, he's done more in a quick. Think about this. He won at Phoenix for the first tournament he's ever won less than 4 years ago. We kind of think Scheffler's been number one in the world, and he kind of started by winning one tournament and never looked back and became the number one player in the world. And all these things that the comparisons with just he and Jack, that it's at Tiger, Jack and Scotty. So I think, you know, Scotty is well on his way to being on there for the more modern guys. This sounds kind of weird. I always like Greg Norman. I think Greg Norman gave an international flavor. Everybody else I'm naming, are American guys. I think Greg Norman had a lot to do with international popularity. He certainly, things with Liv maybe soured people on him, but I think Greg Norman took the game to other parts of the world. Tiger did too with his travel, but being the fact that he wasn't an American, I'm going to say Greg Norman. It's okay. A weird choice, but that's what I'm
going
to say.
No, that's not. That's cool. Steve?
Okay. Well, I mean, I love golf and I'm also in business, so the guys that attract me are not necessarily the guys that excelled at golf and that's what they excelled in and they were great champions. Those aren't the guys that really attract me. So I'm gonna start out first of all, a guy that a lot of our listeners have never watched. I never got to watch him in his prime is Byron Nelson. The reason I would wanna play with him, have him on my Mount Rushmore is his character, his commitment to the game. His commitment to the game, even after not only was he a great player, but he taught Tom Watson. I mean, a lot of guys give him credit, Kim Venturi, a lot of guys gave him credit helping him with his game. He was willing to share. His character would be the big selling point for me.
Yep.
That would be followed by another guy that was a golfer, but he was also a businessman. This guy had tremendous work ethic, focus. Solitary would be Ben Hogan. I want to learn from these guys. I want to learn, you become the people that you hang around with. And I mean, both of those two character traits, tremendous work ethic and character. Give me some of that. Another guy, really good businessman, played golf when there wasn't a lot of money in golf, and not in tournament golf, but I guess you know, exhibitions and things like that. Guy played all over the world when it was very difficult to get around the world. Bobby Jones. The fact that he stayed an amateur and he had a vision for Augusta, and I mean, that fascinates me. And then my fourth, Mount Rushmore, his imagination, unbelievable. He's a deal maker, great businessman. Donald, MAGA. Give me MAGA. Give me Donald Trump. That's my fourth.
Okay.
Jones, Ben Hogan, Ben Hogan, Byron Nelson, Donald Trump.
And by the way, Trump would put himself on there too.
Well, I mean, I would
name up there.
I'd grace him. I tell you what, guys, this is my.
I like Steve. I like this. I like
this. Because these are guys that I think that I could really learn something from.
I like that. That's pretty cool.
All right.
Okay. I don't have any picks.
I mean, you know what? I've been around enough athletes who are absolutely stupid. It's not about just I want to be around people that, you know, I just learned something from that guy.
Okay. That's cool.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Very good. I like it.
Joe Theismann, just fall on the ball.
All right, Steve, we're going to have to let you go. Time to wrap things
okay.
up.
Okay, hey, good. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thank you, Steve.
Thanks for everything.
I appreciate you guys having me.
And if people want to look at their video, you still doing that? Can they still email you their
Yeah, absolutely.
Their swing?
Send it to sjohnson@champ, CHAMP, golf, golf.net. Just send me a down-the-line video. No slow motion. I will send you back a coach video with my voice on it and going through slow motion what the first step would be for you to fix your big miss. That would be good.
Say it one more time. S Johnson at
champ, CHAMP, golf, golf.net.
Got it.
Now, one last thing, guys. I'm really excited about this. Yep. We're having an event. We're having a USGA event here at Vaquero Club in April of this year. The USGA formed the United States Junior National Development Program in golf about 3 years ago. Chris Zambri is the men's coach. I don't know who the ladies' coach is, but they're having a match here in April against Team USA, six boys and six girls against Sweden's national team.
That's cool.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. It's a three-day event. Our members get an opportunity to participate in a junior am event, and you wouldn't believe it, Tim, but all the guys are asking to play with the Swedish girls.
Imagine that. Now, you need to go back and listen to how I started this show, and you'll understand, Tim.
Very nice.
Hey, guys, thanks a lot.
We'll
cool beans, brother. We appreciate it.
Okay. Take care, Steve.
Sounds good.
See you,
talk to you later. Bye-bye.
There he is. Director of Instruction at Vaquero, that's where he's talking about, Vaquero Country Club, which again is located just north of Fort Worth, if you will, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Yeah.
So very, very, very cool.
Okay, I'm going to tell you, now that Steve's not on, he won't hear this. Number one, Walter Hagen for me.
Okay.
I want to play with Walter Hagen, okay? You know me, I like to have a good time, and Walter always had a good time.
He was known for that.
Yes, he was. Walter Hagen would be one.
Okay.
The other would be Tommy Morris.
Old Tommy
no,
Morris?
No, young.
Young Tommy
young,
Morris.
Young Tom Morris, yeah.
Tom Morris, I think, won a British Open like at 17, did he
yes.
not?
Yes, something he did. Like yeah.
Yeah, way back. 1800s?
Yeah. That would be another one. That I
so
would
was, he, was he was he a fraternity brother of yours?
That's not nice. That is just damn not nice.
Were you guys freshmen together in 1894?
Yeah, we went to Old Miss. Ole Miss, but Old Miss.
Really Old Miss.
God bless.
Right?
I can't go any further than that. I mean, you know.
Just those two?
Yeah, I would have picked Greg Norman, really. I haven't really put a lot of thought into it, but Greg Norman is a businessman and a player, entertaining. He was fun to watch.
He was very good at.
Nicholas was enamored with him.
A lot of money.
Nicholas
yeah,
loved
a lot
Greg
of money
Norman
off the course, but he wore the unique hat. He had the flaring white hair. I mean, there was a he was pretty much the '80s. It was Greg Norman to me with golf, but he also brought in the international flavor that I think he Golf was made. He had the accent going with the Australians, yeah. and he had a big smile. I mean, it was, I really liked, and of course, most of his career seemed to be about disappointment more than, he had two majors, and probably people would think he could have won 5, 6, 7 majors. But anyway, I always look forward to watching Greg Norman when he's playing.
And I guess it's not my Mount Rushmore, but my who I want to play with. And I know you got to go, but Payne Stewart would be on that list.
Yeah, that'd be fun too.
Payne Stewart would be on that list. But
another entertaining guy.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, well, it's been fun. It's been good. We're back. It's 2026, and you're going to hear Golf Talk America each and every week now. So so there you go. Get us out of here, big guy.
All right. Hey, got to remind everybody, too, about our great sponsors, PXG being one, and Frank will tell you, leading owner and operator of private golf clubs and country clubs is, of course, Invited Clubs. Been founded back in 1957 right here in Dallas. 17,000 peak season employees, over 150 owned and operated clubs and city clubs, you name it. And it's all right there. Go to their website, invitedclubs.com. Find one near you. Frank, PXG. The greatest clubs in the world.
Absolutely. I love them. Clothes, too. Great apparel.
All right. That should do it for us. Thank you to Steve Johnson for joining us and all of you. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for being here. Remember to join us next time for Golf Talk America.